came to earth and took on human flesh to redeem us, Lord Jesus. To take our place on that cross. So, Father, I pray now as we come to the table that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would work throughout this sanctuary and that, Lord, we wouldn't gloss over this or we wouldn't look at it as a spiritual exercise, but that, Lord, we would do what we're supposed to do is remember Jesus when we come to the table. So, Father, guide us and direct us. You may be seated, and the stewards come forward.
Down to the crimson river, I left my burdens on the shore. I went down a sinner, came up a saint, died with Christ, now I'm reborn. Yes, he washed me in his mercy, and he cleansed me in his blood. Now I stand complete, I have been set free, I found life there in that flood. Not the same, I am changed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By his grace, I am saved. I'm his child forever, I am. Hallelujah. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now I have the living water from the well that won't run dry. All the pains of life have been satisfied by the precious blood of Christ. But not the same, I am changed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By his grace I am saved. I'm his child forever, I am. Hallelujah. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
As we celebrate Jesus' birthday, I wonder if this crosses your mind that the bread of life was born in the house of bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so this morning we celebrate the fact that Jesus went to the cross for us, that he took our place there. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Jesus, we thank you for saying yes to coming to take our place on that cross. And so, Father, we pray by the power of your Spirit, we never forget it, that we always remember what you've done for us, especially at this time of the year. Let's partake.
Not the same, I am changed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By His grace, I am saved, I'm His child forever I am. Hallelujah, redeemed by the blood of the
time.
When it's time to cross that river, I will shine in glorious light. When He calls me home, I'll fall at His throne and forever worship Christ. And forever worship Christ.
Erwin Lutzer tells a story about a man carrying a cross. Anybody in here getting tired of life and what you have to go through? Like to change something? There's a story about a man who dreamt he was carrying a heavy cross on his shoulder. He was exhausted. He wished that his cross was lighter. In a dream, he saw a woodsman with an axe, so he asked that a good part of his cross be chopped off. After that, the man happily resumed his journey, thankful that his cross was so much lighter. On his journey, he came to a chasm between two mountains. He wanted to continue, but he found that he couldn't bridge the gap if only his cross had been longer. He could have laid it down across it as a bridge, but the cross was short by just the length that had been chopped off. Father, we come to you this morning, and your direction, Lord, is to remember what you did for us on the cross, to remember you. And Lord, I pray for everybody in here that's got a heavy cross to bear right now. And Lord, I want to remind everybody here, from the moment they arrested Jesus and then they scourged him at the pillar and they put a crown of thorns on him, he began to bleed for us. And he left a trail of his blood all the way to Calvary, and underneath that cross, it was dripping with his blood. And this morning, we're supposed to remember what he did for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, what you've done for us. Bob and Linda, lay hands on Nancy right there. People around Nancy, lay hands on her. Randy, come on. Father, we ask you to heal Nancy. We ask you to heal all our diseases, Lord, when we drink this, because we recognize your precious blood that was shed for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Let's drink. Lord Jesus, the only way we can be righteous before you is by your precious blood. And so, Lord, if there's anybody in here today thinking, well, I've gone too far, I can't be forgiven, Lord can't use me, the Lord won't redeem me, Lord, come with the power of your Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, dispel those doubts and all those fears, and Lord, replace it with faith in you. Father, we'd ask this morning that through your word, our faith would grow. Lord, I also pray for revelation this morning. You'd bring revelation to us, to each one of us individually, about what you have in store for us in this coming life, the days ahead of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Wow, is anybody awake? Good morning. Amen. First thing I want to do is say, hey, thank you. Who went up to the parade and walked with the float or was up there? Yeah, thank you for everybody that helped, everybody that went out. And we prayed last night while you were up there that everything that was handed out, all those invitations, that people would take them to heart, that they'd find them in their coat pocket this morning. And they'd look at it and say, hey, I maybe should try to go to church this morning. And so we just thank God and we praise God for what you did and all the hard work, and a special thanks to everybody that did that. If you're visiting with us, if it's your first time here, we want to welcome you. You can text welcome to the number on the screen in front of you there, and then we'll get to know you. You can also fill out a card in front of you, a connection card, and take that out to the Welcome Center on your way out, and we're glad that you're here. We want to welcome you, and it's our prayer you want to get to know more about us, and we get to know more about you, part of the body of Christ, okay? Thank you for your tithes and offerings, all right? We don't take it for granted. Your faithfulness to God helps this ministry to continue, but it also opens the door for God to bless you, because we can't outgive Him, all right? I love how God takes care of us when we sell out to Him, amen? Christmas choir, we're putting together a Christmas choir for a traditional Christmas carol medley at our Christmas Eve services. There are two services this year, one at 3 and one at 5, okay? And practice for that Christmas choir is December 11th and 18th. This Wednesday and next Wednesday, it is at between 6 and 7 o'clock. If you can't make it to both Christmas Eve services, you may still come and sing at the one you're coming to. So please beware of that. And it's our prayer you can come, and that will be an awesome success. Family movie night, Friday, December 13th at 5:30 p.m. They're going to be watching a movie titled The Star. So remember that. It is at 5:30. Wednesday classes begin January the 8th, and for 5 weeks for this session at 6:30, they're going to have a class on marriage. And so we would like to provide childcare. But if we're going to provide childcare, turn to somebody and say, that means somebody has to volunteer to help. I can see how excited you are about that. But you see, families and married couples that want to come who have children, they can't come if they can't take care of the children or somebody doesn't do it. So please pray about that and help us so that we can staff that and we can have more at that class, all right? One more thing. You know the announcements we're having right now? Turn to somebody and say, yeah, I know what he's talking about. The announcements right now? All right, beginning in January for next year, we're going to do the announcements at the beginning of the service. So for some of you, you're going, whoops, I will miss them. That's correct. And so we would love you to be on time so you can hear the announcements. If you don't, they'll be online. We'll put them up on the screens. But here's what we want to do. We want to have worship, and then we want to go right into the teaching. And we want to let God take over. We don't want to interrupt it with announcements. Announcements are important. We need to communicate to you. But that's what we're going to do, and we're going to keep telling you that, okay? And so with that, let's get into God's Word. We're in Luke chapter 1, characters of Christmas, all right? We're going to talk about Elizabeth, Zechariah, and John the Baptist, and a whole bunch of other characters that are involved in the story because I can't get them out, and I'm just going to keep telling you about all the characters. If there's one thing that I want you to see this morning, I want you to see that God interrupts lives. How many people here have plans for your lives? You know, I've been asking people the question this week. I've been saying, back in your late teens, when you were 16, 17, 18, 19, what were your plans and has your life turned out that way? And you should see people's faces. And so as we read, keep that in mind, all right? I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read the first 25 and part of verse 26, and then we're going to go through some of the text, and then we'll keep moving on. It says, Luke says this, he says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Do you know the certainty of the things you have been taught? "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside." Please get the picture, church. Zechariah's in here. He's right before the curtain of the Holy of Holies, comes up to the altar of incense. Everybody outside is praying. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. If it's from God, they will say, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah." Don't miss that. "To turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in the years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." The first part of verse 26 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. We're going to stop right there, all right, because we're going to pick it up after that. So here's your first point. When Luke gives his introduction, Luke was a character of Christmas that recorded an accurate account of Jesus' life and the salvation available to all. I want to stop and I want to get you to think for a moment. How many times have you had people doubt the Scripture, and they say things like, well, it was written so long ago and it was handed down so many times, and you know, we can't trust it. And if you look at what Luke says, I'm giving this account so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. He talks about eyewitnesses from the first, where eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. Have you ever stopped to think of who Luke spoke to? Luke traveled with the Apostle Paul. I know for certain that Luke had to have had an encounter with James, the half-brother of Jesus. One of the commentaries I read says he may have spoken to Jesus' mother, Mary. The reason they come up with that one is because he wrote so much about the birth of Jesus that the other Gospels don't have. He may have spoken, you know, to some of Elizabeth and Zechariah's relatives, John the Baptist's relatives. Maybe some of the shepherds or their children talked to Luke. Maybe one of the soldiers at the cross. You see, do you hear what he says? He says, servants of the Word of God, but he says these eyewitnesses, and it was handed down. My little grandson called me there and I said, hey, my assignment in school, Grandpa, is I gotta write things about your family and our family. And oh boy, did we have fun. Got to tell him about his grandpa. Got to tell him things that we used to do when we were kids, when we had fun and crazy things that happened in the family. You see, and it was handed down. And so please believe what you're reading this morning. Luke didn't just throw this together. He said, I was very careful to document this and to do it so that you could believe what you've been taught. Your next point, Luke mentioned the character Herod the king to set the time and social setting of Jesus' birth. Herod is a historical character. You can't deny that he lived. If you go to Jerusalem and you go north along the western wall where they've excavated, they come to this big block and they say, hey, we figure Herod died here. And I'm like, well, how do you know he died here? Because there was a block that had the outline chiseled that all of Herod's building had done in that temple. And it stayed right there. It never got put in place. They said he probably died and it just ended right here. They quit listening to him. Historical character. They know who he was. They know when he lived. They know what was going on. Israel was under Roman rule. And he mentions it for that reason. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Sets the time for us. Your next point, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous, regular people chosen to be parents of a very special prophet. Ask somebody if they're regular. Go ahead. Probably won't forget that one, will you, today? Can't believe what he told us to do in church. Here's the thing. When I grew up, I read these texts and I heard them and I had them read to me and I thought, well, those were special people. God picked them out. He would never do anything like that with me. And that's not true. God wants to do something with you today. I'm here to tell you, Zechariah went into that temple to burn incense. He had done it before. He knew what his duties were. He was well along in the years. He had come to the place where he said, Elizabeth and I don't have children, and I'm going to live out my life now. I'm going to collect my Social Security. You know, I'm going to have the kids visit. Oh, wait, my kids, I don't have kids. They can't visit. We'll go visit some other people on holidays. That's it. He said, this is my life. He had it done. Had it figured out. Anybody here got your life figured out? You know that old saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But Zechariah knew what he was going to do. He had it all laid out. The lot came up for him to burn incense. Went in to burn incense like every other time. He knew what to do. He knew when to do it. He knew how to do it. He was going to come out. He was going to get home in time, you know, for dinner, watch the game, do whatever. Look at your next point. Gabriel interrupted Zechariah's ministry of burning incense in the temple with news of a life-changing birth. It changed Elizabeth and Zechariah's life. They were suddenly interrupted. They had no idea that they would have a child at this age. They had no idea what God was going to do. And here's this angel that startled him. He said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. Not only was it a life-changing event for Elizabeth and for Zechariah, it was life-changing for Israel and everybody around, all the Roman soldiers, everybody that was going to hear this young baby that they were going to have be preaching. Shouting out, repent, for the kingdom of God, see, it's at hand. You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath that is to come? It changed their lives. John the Baptist is a character in the Christmas story. So is all of Israel. So are all of us. Now look at your next point. Burning incense represented the prayers of the people. You know, you ask yourself, why was he going in there? What was he going to do? What did it mean that he was going to burn incense, you see? And because we're not Jewish and we don't understand it, maybe you haven't studied the temple and you don't know what's going on. It was in there and it represented their prayers, all right? Psalms 141 and verse 2. Psalms 141 and verse 2. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. What was going on here? It was probably evening. And he was there burning incense. What were the people doing while he was burning incense? It tells us in the text. They were outside praying. It was a time of prayer. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3, and I'm going to read verse 4. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The burning of the incense was in front of the Holy of Holies. It was right in front of the curtain going in to the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. Here it is, right before the throne of God. Verse 4, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Folks, if there's one time to return to prayer, it's right now. Man, I've been hearing about prayers being answered. And God's answering prayers. And we have list of your prayers that we're praying for. We're praying every day for that list of prayers. All the pastors have an envelope with your prayers in them. And we're praying. Don't give up on prayer. I'll bet you've forgotten what some of your prayers were. I know you've forgotten them. Look at your next point. Have you ever forgotten about or given up on your previous prayers? You know, look at Zechariah. Come on, get yourself in his place. He's in here. He's going to burn incense. And the angel says to him, hey, your prayer's been answered. And he's like, my prayer. Elizabeth's going to be nice to me tonight. She's going to cook what I want for dinner. I've asked the Lord for this. Oh, we're going to get that piece of land. See, he didn't have it even in his mind. He had given up. He forgot about it. It was over. When he was young, him and Elizabeth would say, "Lord, why? Why is this scourge upon us? Why are we disgraced? Why do all our friends have children growing up and we are barren?" And the whole community looked upon them saying, "I wonder what's wrong with Zechariah, huh? Maybe it's Elizabeth. Did they sin? What did they do? Why aren't they having children?" It was looked at as a curse. It's why, you know, Elizabeth says, we're going to read in a bit, "My disgrace has been removed," she says. The angel says, "Your prayer has been answered." And he was like, "Huh? I forgot about that. Forgot about it." Now, I don't want to take any credit for this, but I want to tell you this story about me when I was young. When I was 15 years old, we moved on a certain farm. The farm that we rented it for over 30 years. I should own it two or three times now. We rented this farm, and it's the most awesome land, and it grows the best crops. And when I used to plow those fields, if you ever plowed a field, you go over every inch of that thing. And if you miss an inch, your dad will tell you. And I used to pray and I used to say, "Lord, this land is so awesome and they're building houses all around it. Lord, I ask that you don't let them build houses on this land because it grows better corn than houses." And you know what? I drove past there a week or so ago. Not a house built on that property yet. And I please, man, I'm not taking credit, but I'm saying, "Hey, I think you might have heard, Lord." Log your prayers. Write them down. My wife wrote them down for classes in school. And at the end of the year, they'd go back and they were amazed at what God answered that they had forgotten. We need to teach our children to pray. My children call me, "Dad, Dad, tell Mom to pray." I said, "Why don't you pray?" "No, tell Mom to pray." "God hears her. He'll hear you too." Your next point, Gabriel gave Zechariah a detailed description, all right, of John the Baptist. He gave a detailed description of John the Baptist. He says he's going to go before the Lord. He's going to prepare a people for the Lord. "He's going to bring joy to you," he says to Zechariah. Read through this and say, "My goodness, what an awesome description of what's going to happen." And it's a detailed description. Psalm 139, "All my days were written down for me before one of them came to pass." Isn't that something? And here it is, and we see it. Look at your next point. Zechariah's loss of speech was a gentle discipline and a sign to the crowd outside that he had a supernatural experience. How do we know he had a supernatural experience? Because he came out and they kept asking him questions. First of all, they were going, "Where in the world is Zechariah? Do they have a hard time getting the fire started? What was going on, you see? Where's he at? He should be out here by now. He's gone past the allotted time. Doesn't he know what time it starts on TV? I want to get there to see it." And when he came out and they started asking him questions, he was like, making signs. What was he doing? Had to communicate. And they knew it was a supernatural experience that he had and that God had done something, but it was also a gentle discipline. Listen, church. What if every time you didn't believe, God took away your speech? I'd like to reverse it. If every time we do believe, we'd speak about our Lord and Savior. Next point, Elizabeth conceived and quietly gave God glory for removing her disgrace. I love it. It says she was secluded. She stayed quiet. She stayed inside. Maybe she couldn't believe it for a few months. It's Sometimes when God does things for us and with us, we just need to be quiet and enjoy His presence. Amen. Luke chapter 1 now, verses 41 through 45, all right? Because you know the story. Immediately after Mary hears that she is pregnant, she goes to visit Elizabeth. Listen to this. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't miss that. Said John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth now is filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. First of all, before we go to any points, I want to say to you this morning, the Roman Catholic Church didn't make up the whole Hail Mary. Are you listening to me? Oh, it got quiet really fast. They didn't make that prayer up. The first part of that prayer is straight out of Scripture, and it's from the mouth of Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Holy Mary, full of God, or full of grace. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. People get saved when they pray that over and over because the Word of God hits them, and it won't come back void. And if you can just have the capacity today to get all the stuff out of the mind about worshiping Mary and things like that, get that out of your mind. But she is blessed. And the fruit of her womb is so special. And it came from Elizabeth's mouth and she spoke it. Get them in the proper place in Scripture, church. Here's your point. Elizabeth's pregnancy confirmed everything Gabriel had spoken to Zechariah and to Mary. When the angel comes to Mary, we'll read it next week, he says, your relative Elizabeth, who was barren, is in her sixth month of pregnancy. And Mary took off immediately to find out if that was true. If you have the slide, Pete, put that slide up. Look at this slide. I love this. This artist had the Scriptures in mind. And she came and she met Elizabeth. I mean, what a blessed moment. And Elizabeth says, the baby in my womb leapt when you came in to my presence. There's an argument to abolish abortion. It's right there, church. I just love how that brings the representation and captures the moment. The moment I heard you. Baby leaped in my womb. Your next point, John the Baptist's ministry began in his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Spirit immediately. And it started in his mom's womb. Even before he took a breath outside of his mother's womb, he leapt in Elizabeth's womb. When Jesus came into his presence, they met right there that day. We need to cherish life from the moment of conception. And hopefully all the way into eternity. Amen? Let's follow Jesus there. Luke chapter 1, verses 57 now. To the end of the chapter. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. That's the custom. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. So he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe throughout the hill country of Judea. People were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, What then is the child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, who hasn't spoken for over 9 months, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Does everybody notice there's the Holy Spirit again? Pray that before you open your mouth and speak, the Holy Spirit would touch you. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember His holy covenant. Don't miss the word covenant. The oath He swore to our father Abraham. See, God remembers. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve Him with fear. Don't miss that. To enable us to serve Him. Do you know that you've been enabled to serve God? In holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. Let me ask you a question. Are there people living in darkness today? And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. I want to make sure you don't miss something, and if you want to do some homework, go home and look up the transfiguration. The angel says to Zechariah, he says, he will come in the spirit of Elijah. And when the disciples came off the Mount of Transfiguration, they said to Jesus, and they're referring to Jesus being the Messiah, they say, doesn't Elijah come first? And Jesus says, Elijah has come, and they did what they wanted with him. And then it says that the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist. That John the Baptist was the forerunner to the Messiah. And the disciples knew the Scriptures, and they said, doesn't he come first? And Jesus said, he came. And right here it is in the text, that he came in the spirit of Elijah to make a way for the Lord. Now here's your point. John the Baptist's birth shook the neighborhood. How about you? I want to shake the neighborhood. I want to be so in love with God. I want to have them see what God does with me and through me and for me and say, what's going on over there? I mean, the whole neighborhood went, wait a minute, we got this barren woman, now she had a baby, and the guy can't talk for 9 months, and now his mouth opens, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says all these wonderful things. What in the world is going on? That's what my family said about me after I got saved, but not in exactly those tones. Shake the neighborhood. Surrender to Jesus. Talk about Him. Love Him. Serve Him. And they'll go, what in the world is going on over there? It shook the neighborhood. Obedience to the angel's word set Zechariah's tongue free to sing a Holy Spirit-led song of salvation. Please don't miss what he says. You have to go back over it. You should go back over it this week, and you should study the words of Zechariah. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. When he says a horn of salvation, I don't think of somebody blowing a trumpet. I don't think of the thing in Thanksgiving, that cornucopia, you know, people call it a horn. You know what I think of? I think of a horn on a bull. And if you ever ran into one, you would know the horn doesn't give. It's a horn of salvation to deliver us from our enemies so we can worship in peace, he says. Folks, Jesus is still on the throne. He's going to be on there forever. Is He the horn of your salvation? Is He the one you grab hold of? Talks about covenant with Abraham. It's a song of salvation. God didn't forget. God's carrying out His will and His purpose. Your last point, John the Baptist's life fulfilled his part in God's salvation plan. This is so important. If you study John the Baptist, he fulfilled his part. When it came time for him to move aside and to let Jesus in, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. He truly did fulfill his part. Now, here's the question, church. What is your part? Remember at the beginning, you're in here going, I'm just going to go to church, we're going to go home, we're going to do whatever we're going to do, we're going to shop, we're going to cook or something like that. I'm pretty sure God's not going to do anything special with me today. What if He does? What's your part? What if He brings an unbeliever into your atmosphere and you can speak to them? What if you find somebody in need? Can you help them? And my prayer this morning is you don't go through life thinking, well, those people in the Bible, they were special people. You know, Lord, they are special people, church, but so are you. And God can use you, and He will use you. Will you open up to Him? If you notice, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they went with God's plan, didn't they? John the Baptist did what God told him. The angel obeyed God. They didn't go, oh, this is kind of scary and I wasn't planning on this, Lord. Let's stop it all right now. Father, we come to You today, and Lord, You know where every person in this place is at. There are people that are chafing under the weight of their cross, and they're looking for a woodsman to go chop this thing off for me, Lord, because it's just too heavy, and I don't want to carry it anymore, and it's so hard. And ultimately, Father, Your Holy Spirit says, no, this cross is perfect for You. Pick it up and walk with it. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. And it's bigger than ourselves. And Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would come and speak to each and every one of us right now in this sanctuary. And Lord, You would direct. And You would say, hey, Christian, this is what I want you to do. And if you're in here and if you don't answer to that call, hey, Christian, and you go, what is that? And I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. Then surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Tell Him that you believe He's the Son of God who came to earth and took on human flesh. And say, Lord, I've sinned against You. Forgive me. And if you open your heart, man, He will come in. Give Him the keys to your car and let Him drive. Let Him drive your life. Father, take Your word this morning. Let it accomplish in each of us what You've sent it to do. But Lord, please don't let us walk out the back doors going, well, that was kind of all right. Now let's get on with our life. Lord, help us to get on with Your life in us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to be your part of God's salvation. God bless you.